You're listening to Orange County's only station with critical business information, Critical Mass, with your host, Rick Franzi.
Welcome to today's episode of Critical Mass, Coast to Coast. I am your host, Rick Franzi. This business talk show airs live on Thursday afternoons at 3 p.m. here in Southern California, and at various times around the country, depending on what time zone you're in. Actually, this show is available internationally, so we're beaming across the globe. If you're listening to this show in the future as a podcast, I'd like to say thank you for including our show in your busy day. Would also like to encourage you to consider listening to this show live during our broadcast time, heard exclusively here on octalkradio.net. The goal for this show is to help you, our listening audience, make better decisions. And I would like to thank our sponsors, Smart Business Magazine and Succession Strategies, for supporting this program. If you want to join the conversation because you are listening to us today live, then it's very simple. Find the community chat room section of octalkradio.net's website. Once you're logged in, you have a direct pipeline to our show's producer, Paul Roberts. He'll be able to see what you're posting and bring them to my attention, your thoughts, ideas, questions, to my attention as the show host. And possibly I can work it into the conversation that we're going to have today with our guest. Speaking of our guest today, it's a great pleasure to welcome Randy Mendoza of Clean Hands. He's the CEO and president, and we're going to be spending some time with a variety of different questions. But first, very simply, let me welcome Randy to the program. Randy, welcome to Critical Mass, Coast to Coast.
I'm happy to be here. Thanks a lot. Hope all is well in California. We're down here in Texas, so.
Yes, it's beautiful and sunny and warm here today in Southern California. Randy, tell us about your firm. What is it that your firm does? And from your perspective and hopefully your client's perspective, what's different about your firm?
Well, first of all, our product, the brand name is Clean Hands, and it's an antimicrobial towelette that we impregnate with detergents to use basically to keep people's hands clean and their skin. The differentiating factors are, A, we do not employ at all any alcohol. We stayed away from alcohol. We actually put some good bench science into the project years ago, and we feel that that's going to win the game out. Number two, and probably more importantly, is I think that the consumers have been misled to believe that the use of a hand sanitizer, and there's many of them on the marketplace. We don't need to mention any of them, but there's many of them that are sold at the consumer level. They do not constitute washing hands, unlike a towelette. The current monograph for hand hygiene with the CDC clearly states that an antimicrobial towelette is the alternative to hand washing. Obviously, the gold standard is still water, soap, and thyme. So that's the real big differentiating factors.
Randy, I'm with your permission, I want to ask you a couple of follow-up questions that maybe members of our audience might also be thinking. So is it okay if I kind of follow that up with a couple questions?
Sure can.
What is your background?
Well, my background, I've been 31 years as a professional in the food service industry. This project kind of spawned out of my previous work where I was traveling quite a bit, and I noticed that the tendency for people to be a little bit more lax relative to their hand hygiene was becoming a little bit more prevalent. And so it just spawned out of that whole aspect of, and it was, in other work. I was traveling quite a bit, and I saw that. And so that's what the whole idea came out of. And then we did some some market research, and we did some focus groups, and we understood that people, especially as you get older, you really don't want to use any kind of alcohol-based anything, because it just if you have any kind of drying issues with your skin or your hands, that just kind of adds to it, and it kind of strays, it kind of keeps you from wanting to use those sort of products, as opposed to you gravitating to something that's going to make them actually clean and sanitized. So that's it. I mean, I've been around this business for about 31 years in food service, and ran three or four companies that were owned by other people, and just decided that I kind of wanted to take the leap and see if I could do one myself.
So what is it about having alcohol in a hand sanitizer that your research and your it has caused you to believe that that's something that people do not want to have?
Well, here's the deal. The age old belief was that if it burns, it's working. I think y'all probably know hydrogen peroxide. When we were kids, I'm not good at ages. I'm 55. So when I was growing up, if you got a little ouchie out in the backyard and you came in and you treated it with water and then you put some hydrogen peroxide on it and it burned like the high heaven, well, you thought it was really doing some good. Well, unlike something that would be a soap that doesn't have any alcohol, it doesn't have any thing that's going to cause it to burn. We have found that people do not like alcohol for very various reasons. Number one, especially moms don't like it for their kids because alcohol and hand sanitizers, it's alcohol by mass. So let me give you an example. A 2-ounce bottle of alcohol gel sanitizer is about 62 to 70% alcohol by mass. Now, let me draw an equivalent to that. That's the equivalent of 4 shots of vodka. Well, I mean, all you have to do is Google alcohol hand sanitizers, and you get a whole scroll down of about, I mean, thousands of different incidences with alcohol-based sanitizers. So that's one reason. It's very toxic. It's very flammable and at a very, very low flash point. I mean, alcohol gel sanitizers on their MSDS sheets of many, many companies that they publish on their websites, it's 85 degrees Fahrenheit. Now, a lot of people don't just run up and down the road bragging about an 85-degree Fahrenheit product because they won't sell very many, especially into government and county and state institutions where they have to be very conscientious about that. So there's a lot of adverse stuff going on, and alcohol gel sanitizers are on a slide. I think the latest numbers that we've been shown is about 40% over last year to date in terms of declining sales. Contrarily, the wipe business is on the rise, and principally because they found that the impregnated wipe is an alternative to hand washing. It's not a substitute for it, but it is an alternative in the event one doesn't have access or quick access to soap water and have the time to do it. So there you go.
Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have the opportunity to learn from a very experienced entrepreneur in this area, and I have other questions that I want to get to here during your interview time on Critical Mass Coast to Coast. We are going to take a short break, Randy. And sure. When we come back, I wonder if you might be willing to share with our audience of all the lessons that you've learned from a business perspective. If you've developed what we call here on Critical Mass Coast to Coast a guiding principle, and if you would be willing to share that guiding principle philosophy with our audience after these words from our sponsors.
Can we talk about your family business? You know, that thing you put your whole life's blood, sweat, and tears into? Well, what happens when you retire or try and pass that business on to your children? At Succession Strategies, we can help you find the answers. We'll guide you through the unsettling process of protecting your family legacy and successfully passing your business on to the next generation. safely and securely, ensuring that it'll both survive and thrive for generations to come. So ask yourself just one question. Can I really afford to wait? Take the first step. Take our complimentary self-assessment at successionstrategies.com or call us at 714-560-9022 to set up a free consultation at your convenience. That's succession-strategies.com. Succession-strategies.com. Succession planning for your family's continued success.
Welcome back to Critical Mass Coast to Coast. Randy, would you so kind as to share your guiding principle with our audience?
The guiding principle is prepare for the worst. Always save up for rainy days. There's good times and there's not so good times. And so the guiding principle is you know, hope for the best, expect the worst, and you just got to have tenacity. You got to have perseverance, and you got to stay the course on your business plan, and stay true to your mission. And that's the guiding principle.
And I have to ask then, Randy, what experience or experiences taught you that was a worthy guiding principle to have?
Well, in as you might remember, back in 2000, and I want to say 2010, when we were just starting out, we started the company in 2003, and it took about 5 years to actually get through the science aspect of it. And you and your listeners probably know, when you're dealing with a science type project, you know the devil is in the details. So we you know, our science advisors said, you know, let's be diligent, let's be prudent, and let's get the science right, and then we'll be successful on down the line. So that was 5 years of a lot of investment and a lot of work, and no one, you know, again, no one just dropping money at your feet because, you know, you got the next best widget for hand hygiene. It just doesn't happen in the real world. Or, you know, every so often you hit something and someone has an interest in. And you get lucky, and someone puts a little money into your gig, but in most cases you gotta be kind of funded yourself, and just do it the age old fashioned way, and just kind of bootstrap it until you get it to where you can get something sold and get some money coming back the other way. But after those 5 years, we enjoyed a really, really lean first year, and in the second year, H1N1 hit. Well, when H1N1 hit, it was like a banner year. I mean, it just my inventory was depleted in the course of 2.5 weeks. Our inventory obviously was based on just in time. It was based on the lean thinking, and so we had a real, real tight inventory, and so when that happened, well, guess what? Everything was gone in a heartbeat, and we had a record year that year. But what happened the following year? Well, as you may have guessed, once H1N1 was over, people went back to their old habits, and that was not being too concerned about hand hygiene. Everybody during H1N1, everybody and their uncle was buying sanitizers for their home, for their work, for their sport events. I mean, it's just going crazy, and so you had a huge surge in sales, and then the following year you had that all backed off. So the first 6 months of the following fiscal year, which we run a calendar year, January to December, we suffered. I mean, I had to dip into my till to just keep the business going. Because the sales were not—I mean, all our customers at that point were flooded with—they were stockpiled with inventory that they had to work through, And so, and boy, that was a real big lesson that I learned that, you know, the overreaction is probably, you know, not the wisest of things, and both on the customer and then our sales level. You know, we should have been a little bit more discriminate probably on the sales, and maybe did it on an allocation basis just to see what was going to happen after the H1N1, you know, pandemic scare was over. And so it be as it may, it all ended up okay, and we ended up with a few less fingernails, but at the end of the day we kind of made it through, and here we are today. So
how is your product taken to market? What are your distribution channels and your retail outlets?
Well, that's the good thing about what we did. When we built our business, our business model was we wanted to cross over into a lot of channels of business. We wanted to cross into consumer products and wanted to get it into retail. We wanted to get it into schools because we felt that we could decrease absenteeism because kids were keeping their hands cleaner and they weren't spreading germs through hand contact, that we could help there. We wanted to get into, you know, obviously we wanted to get into the pharma. We haven't done that yet, but we're working on it. We wanted to get into health and wellness. We wanted to get into with the athletic trainers, and we wanted to get into athletic directors and locker rooms. So we kind of wanted to really get into a lot of different types of businesses. We wanted to get into healthcare. We wanted to get into hospitals. We wanted to get into food service, and we have done that. All of those that I've mentioned, we are currently selling product to, and the whole strategy behind that is to kind of spread your wings a little bit and kind of prove your value. The value of your company obviously is not just a segmented channel that you're in. It's a pretty diverse and pretty spread out type of customer base that you can sell product to.
Are you in big box retailers?
Not yet. We actually in front of some. I can't mention them at this point, but we are. We do have proposals that in front of the big box, some of the big box guys, and you know, we hope for the best. Again, we're not anticipating anything at this point, but certainly would be a nice impulse to our business. We like that business. We think that the customer, especially in certain big box companies, that our product is a perfect fit for their demographic, both the socioeconomic demographic as well as the age group that they cater to. So that's a real good fit for us.
So help me and help the audience to understand from a environmental green perspective, how does your product stand up?
Well, we're probably the only that we know of USDA bio preferred, which it's a bio preferred certification that's given by the USDA, and I'd like to explain that in the wife industry, you have to have plastics, some percentage of plastics in your towel, because if not, it'll just shred when you start rummaging it through your hands. It'd kind of be like, take the example of just a regular dry multifold towel that you wet it to a point where it's moist, and then you just kind of wipe your hands with that. It ends up in the little balls of cellulose in your hands and on your lap, and ladies get it on their skirt. And if it's a wool skirt, it gets stuck, and then the next thing you know, you got a mess on your hands and not a very happy customer. So we do have some plastics in our product, and that's just simply because they would, for the reasons I just mentioned, they'll just ball up and shred up, and it'll be kind of a mess. So, but we are certified as a USDA bio-preferred product. Especially in the product that we currently sell to schools, it's about 70% natural fiber and 30% plastic. So we feel that from the standpoint of the wipe, we're doing everything we can to to follow the sustainability as much as we can. All of our dispensers are made from recycled plastics. We do a lot of our work electronically. Our dispensers, we cut out 30% of the amount of plastic that it would take to normally produce a dispenser. Just by the design of it, we were able to shave off some of that plastic. So we are trying to do the responsible thing, and we take sustainability very, very seriously. But at the end of the day, it's just a category of product that we're in that does not allow us to be a 100% a biodegradable product. Now, having said that, are there products on the products on the market that are coming out that are can get us there? Well, yeah, and when they do come out and they're finished, they can be used in finished goods, and they're affordable. The biggest deal is the affordability of the wipe. You can have a biodegradable towel today probably, and it'd be about 15 to 20 cents a wipe. Mm-hmm. Well, the consumer is just not ready for that. They're looking at it as something they're going to use. They're going to wipe something with it, their hands, their face, their cheeks, their kids' feet, whatever they're going to do, and then they want to dispose of it. That's basically what they're going to do, and they're just not prepared yet to pay. It'd be a sticker shock for them to pay 15 to 20 cents per wipe. So when that starts to get a little bit more in line, our goal as a company is to be the first on the market with a 100% hand hygiene biodegradable product.
One quick question before our next sponsorship break, if I could, Randy. I know that the Dallas Cowboys use your product, and I'm curious if you could share with the audience how you got them to use your product.
Well, the Dallas Cowboys, I don't know if you remember or not, they used to do, until recently, they used to do their football camps in San Antonio. They used to do a 4-week football training camp in San Antonio in July. And one of my brokers for HEB, which is a fairly major retail concern based in San Antonio, my broker that services HEB with our product, was a pretty good friend of the marketing director for the Dallas Cowboys, and he introduced a product to this guy, and this guy said, I think this is a great product. We ought to have it for our players. So we went through some scrutiny with their trainer, and by and large, they met with our science team up in Dallas, up in Valley Ranch in Dallas, and we had some really great visits, and they found that there was some benefit for them, because I don't know how much you know about football. I'm assuming you know just as much as anybody else, but those are just big kids, and they're susceptible to being ill just like anybody else. I mean, they are well looked after, but at the end of the day, do they get flu and do they get bacteria and do they get staph infections? Well, they absolutely do. But the only difference between that and a Pop Warner football player is those guys are paid multi-million dollars, and they don't need a multi-million dollar guy who's going to be laid up on a Sunday when he's supposed to be playing in the game because he's got the flu or because he got a staph infection that was intended to. So they found the value in it for their players. It's kind of the story. So
that's a good story. We're going to take our second sponsorship break. Randy, can you stay with us for a few more minutes? Because I have a couple other questions I want to ask you after this break.
Sure can.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be back. But first, here are a couple commercial messages from our sponsors.
If you are an Orange County business executive, this message is for you. Do you ever feel isolated with no place to turn for advice or feedback? Who holds you accountable to your commitments in your company? Where do you find the right resources to help you and your company grow? If you have these questions, then Critical Mass for Business might be the answer for you. Critical Mass for Business is committed to helping you make better decisions. These are groups of peers running businesses just like you, providing a great sounding board to test ideas and concepts, review plans and goals, and present issues and opportunities for discussion. The result is improved strategy, accountability, people, and execution skills. If you are interested in learning more, go to www.criticalmassforbusiness.com and learn more about our executive peer group.
If you are a Southern California business owner or executive, this message is for you. For over 17 years, Doug Gaffella has been coaching executives, helping them create and improve the effectiveness of teams and individual team members. What makes Doug's approach unique and successful is his fundamental approach. Doug looks at the coaching from the perspective of the client, not the coach. Doug has helped hundreds of companies and led over 1,000 planning meetings that have changed lives and the course of many successful firms throughout Southern California. If you're interested in learning more, go to www.criticalmassforbusiness.com and learn about our executive coaching and team development. Critical Mass for Business is a professional executive coaching and team development company and is the fastest growing business advisory firm in Orange County.
Welcome back to Critical Mass Coast to Coast. I am your host, Rick Franzi. Our featured guest today is Randy Mendoza. He's CEO and president of Clean Hands, and we're coming back from a commercial break, and I wanted to ask you to think back to a time in your professional career, Randy, where you learned a really valuable business lesson, but it came through what at the time felt like a difficult or challenging experience. Do you have one to share with our audience?
Well, there's been quite a few. I mean, I sometimes feel like I've been through many, many wars, and I don't mean that. I mean, there's veterans out there. I hope they're listening to your show, but I don't mean it in a bad way. I've run companies, and as you know, when you're running a company for someone, or you're running a company for yourself, you're running it for someone, you act as though it's your own company, because you have to have, you know, that same kind of integrity with someone else's money as you have with yours. And so there's been times when, you know, when we're doing the close of a month and the numbers aren't coming out you know, Katie holds the barn and you just keep all the doors shut and get everybody in and say, these numbers have got to work out. And this is what we should be showing, and this is not what we're not showing. We've got to re-inventory everything to get the numbers where they all line up, or we better have some good reasons why they didn't line up. So you do those kinds of things once or twice, and you really, really understand that the numbers are the numbers, and the integrity, whether it's your business or whether it's somebody else's business that you're managing the business for, it doesn't really matter. The integrity and the way you approach your business and the way you are honest about the way you go about things is certainly should be foremost, and you want to do the right thing by yourself and by the owners of that company.
So if I'd ask you to tell us about the future, in other words, where do you see the firm going? What are the growth opportunities? We'll have you back in a year or two, and I'll say, Randy, tell me about Clean Hands. You know, what's going to be different, and what does that mean to the people in the company and to you as the leader of the firm?
Well, it's a very fair question, Rick. The best way that I know to answer it is that, you know, every day is a new day. Every day is a fun day. If you're not showing up to work and you're not having a good time at it, then you need to be doing something else. We're not doing it for the money. If we were doing it for the money, I would have bailed out 5 years ago. So, having said that, where are we going? Well, we're going, and we have, you know, a lot of people. I think the one question that a lot of really, really significant and relevant customers ask us is, how long have you guys been around? And when you answer, well, we've been at it for 5 years now, we've been to the market now for 5 years, they kind of look at you in a different light. They feel that you've kind of probably persevered through the rough stuff, and you've come out of it. There's been ebbs and flows and highs and lows, But through it all, you've probably made it that you would have been gone by the third or the second or the third year. So they're taking you a little bit more seriously now. They recognize the science that we have in our product and the way that we're approaching it, and it's really exciting. We think that there's a significant lift. There could be some significant lift for us in healthcare. We have just found out that I don't know how familiar you are with hyperbaric chambers, but hyperbaric chambers typically used for long-term wound care. When someone loses a limb due to diabetes, they go in there and they get hit with treated oxygen for periods of time, and that helps in the healing. So, but in hyperbaric chambers, you can't even get alcohol-based anything, even close to use in that ward. Well, our product has been approved for use in hyperbaric chambers. So, Well, heck yeah, it is. I mean, there's a lot of hyperbaric chambers, a lot of hospitals. So we feel that's a real big uptick for us in the near future. And as well as when you service a patient at a hospital, you know, the irony of the hand sanitizer dispensers in the room is that the last person that has access to them is the patient. They should be the first. So we decided to bring an individually wrapped wipe with no alcohol in it, and it's just soap and water on the food service tray. Just bring it to them. And so they can you know wipe down their hands, clean them up really good before they start ingesting their food. So there's a lot of upticks for us in healthcare. We health and wellness in sports. I mean, I think that clean hands could be, you know, for hand hygiene, what Gatorade is to thirst. I mean, I think people are very concerned, especially with professional athletes in Division I and II and III college athletes. I think that there's huge opportunities there for us. We just got it approved by the USA men's and women's basketball team after about a year of being on trial, that the only product they use for their hand hygiene is ours. Well, we think that's a real relevant customer because you can kind of name drop, if you will, the USA men's and women's basketball team, because those are multi-million dollar players that play for the country in the United States. So there's a lot of that going on. We have now a good brokerage network that we're working with, large concern that's taking our product on a national basis. And we're setting up some distribution channels now with some large distribution lines, and we feel really comfortable about where we're going. And again, Rome wasn't built in a day. We're building the business brick at a time. But we think now that we've kind of learned how things line up. And we've made mistakes over the last 5 years. I'll grant you that. That's true. But we think we have a pretty good handle going forward of what we'd like to do and how we'd like to get there.
Do you see this product having opportunity internationally?
I do. We're working on some stuff right now. We got a project that we're working with a third world country that's very, very interested in using it in their country, and so we're going through the steps. It's a pretty large opportunity for us that could give us a worldwide presence. There's just a lot of things, Rick, that a lot of our competitors have claimed that they're alcohol free, but they're really not. When they claim alcohol free, is because their active ingredient is not alcohol, but they're inert ingredients. They're inactive ingredients. You read through the inert ingredients or the inactive ingredients, and you're going to find a 15% alcohol content. Well, ours is probably the only product that we know of that is 100% alcohol free. And when I say that, we use two detergents in ours. They're called quaternary ammonium compounds. We use two that basically work synergistically as our active ingredients, and we think that we're the only company that uses two quats as active ingredients and no alcohol at all anywhere. So, again, there's just a lot of upside that we think if we stay the course and we continue to take on evangelists of our product, I think that we'll win the game. I think that there's customers out there that will subscribe to our line of thinking and again, I mean, you do it brick at a time. I mean, it's just the age-old way of doing it. It's hard work, smart work, and trying to be diligent and efficient. And if you do that and you're selling more than you happen to pay out, well, guess what? There's a little profit at the end of the day.
That's the key. If someone wanted to learn more about your products, your brand, maybe reach out to you, how do they find your company online? What's your website?
Cleanhands.com, and it's spelled KLEENHANZ as in zebra.com.
Anything else about your product, your market, anything about your business that we didn't have a chance to talk about here today on Critical Mass Coast to Coast, Randy, that you were hoping to be able to mention to our audience?
You know, Rick, I think you covered it pretty good with your questions. I'm hoping I was giving you and your listeners as comprehensive of an answer as I possibly can, but I think we've covered it. I think that they're good questions, and I really appreciate the opportunity to be on with you, Rick.
Well, it's, I thank Peter Broiler, who's in San Antonio, in your market, for bringing you to, our awareness here on Critical Mass Coast to Coast. After the show airs live, our radio station turns all of our live broadcasts into MP3 podcasts, and shortly we'll have this show up on our podcasting websites around the various country, really, where we have partners who host our podcasts. So you yourself will be able to listen to your interview and make that decision about how well you answered the questions for yourself, Randy. I think you did a great job, by the way.
I appreciate it, Rick. Thank you so much. And, thanks to Peter. I'll make sure and give him a call tomorrow and thank him very much.
All right. Well, it was my pleasure to be able to have you as our featured guest here today on Critical Mass Coast to Coast. And I wish you continued success and fighting the good fight. And I would love to have you back at some point in the future to hear how the business is progressing.
I'd love to do it with you, Rick. I really would. And it's been my pleasure. I've been humbled by being on, and thank you very much.
And we will be back in touch at some point in the future for you to come back and be a guest as well on the radio program. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, here on Critical Mass Coast to Coast, we do this show in partnership, as you may have noticed from me mentioning Peter Broiler, with Renaissance Executive Forums business owners in selected markets across the United States. We bring guests on here to Critical Mass Coast to Coast from obviously San Antonio, that's where Randy is, but also Albuquerque, Denver, Colorado, Phoenix, Arizona, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Atlanta, Georgia, and other cities across the country who have guests and business leaders who we believe can share what they know for the benefit of you, our listening audience, so that you'll be able to learn more from the guests that we have. If you're listening to us and you're in a market other than Southern California and you would like to be a guest on Critical Mass Coast to Coast, well, visit our website, www.criticalmass4business.com, and I'll be happy to, you can connect with me directly as the host, and be happy to see if we can sequence you into a future episode of either this show, Critical Mass Coast to Coast, or we do another show, which is called Critical Mass the Radio Show, where we feature business leaders in Southern California as well, but we're open to all markets across the country and be very interested in having you as a potential guest. As well, if you'd like to learn more about the CEO peer group experience, then the best way to learn about that is to visit our website for our international organization, whose name is Renaissance Executive Forums. You can find out more about CEO peer groups off of Executive Forums' website by simply typing in www.executiveforums.com, and there you will see all the various markets and business leaders that are affiliated with our brand across. We're an international organization with over 1,200 members, so you'll see us in many different markets around the world, not just here in the United States. So until the next time we have a chance to speak together, this is your host, Rick Franzi of Critical Mass Coast to Coast, saying here's hoping that
all your business decisions, move your business in a positive direction.
You're listening to Critical Mass Coast to Coast, only on OCTalkRadio.net.